I hope you have your Bibles ready to join with us in the study of God's Word this morning. One of the easiest passages to find in the Bible. That's not only the last book, but the last chapter in the Word of God. Chapter number 22 of the book of Revelation. I want you to follow along as we read these precious words for your hearing. Revelation chapter 22, verses 7 through 21. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things. I heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man can add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, I don't know about your Bible, but my particular Bible, on the left-hand side of it, is a blank page. In other words, when you stop reading, that last verse is nowhere else to go. And I want to preach to you this morning on the last message in the Bible. The last message in the Bible. God's revelation to man was finished 2,000 years ago. There have been no revelations since, and there never will be. The Bible is the completed revelation of God. I repeat, the Bible is the completed revelation of God. Many deny this today. Joseph Smith, born 1805 to 1844, founded the Mormon Church. He claimed the angel Moroni appeared from heaven and revealed to him where the Mormon plates were hid, which is supposed to be inspired in addition to the Bible. Mormons believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they do not believe it is only the Word of God. They believe it is completed by the sayings of Joseph Smith. Charismatics. Many believe that the gift of knowledge by the Holy Spirit is apart from the Bible and is also equally inspired. You'll hear them say and use terms like this. Well, God told me. Well, God told me. Or what we need to hear today is a word from God. Now, we have a word from God. And that word is in the confines of your Bible. And if you want to know what God told you, read your Bible. And you'll find out it is the completed revelation of God. The Quran, for instance. Muhammad taught that the angel Gabriel appeared to him in 610 A.D. and began giving him the Quran, which they believe is God's revelation to man. There's all the difference in the world between the Holy Bible and the Quran. The Quran is a product of man. The Holy Bible is a product of God Almighty. It is a completed revelation of God. This is God's last message. God's last message. Do I teach and do I believe that God impresses us sometimes today? Yes, I certainly believe in that. But God does not verbally speak today, authoritatively adding to or taking away from what He's already said in the Bible. The Bible is a completed word of God. Now, before getting into the bulk of the message, I do want to share with you a tidbit I hope will be somewhat helpful. In that 22nd chapter, please notice verse 1 and 3. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It is used that way in verse 3. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Please notice it is singular. It is not the thrones of God and of the Lamb, but the throne of God and of the Lamb. The singular throne, not two separate thrones. The throne of God is the throne of the Lamb. The time of it. Christ is pictured as a son beside his father. When he left this earth by way of the ascension, the scripture teaches that he is forever seated by the Father's right hand, making intercession for our sin. Now, that is said in time, and we live in time. But you do not find that statement in eternity. In eternity, Christ is pictured as the sovereign Lord who sits on the throne. The significance, when you and I get to heaven, we're not going to see two gods. We're not going to walk up to God the Father and say, I've always wanted to see what you look like, and if you'll just move over a little bit, I want to see your son, because I've always wanted to see what he looked. There's only one God in creation, and only one God of the Bible, and that God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never revealed himself in eternity in that position. But my dear friends, he will at the end of time, and we enter into eternity. We'll be caught up as John in Revelation chapter 4, when he was caught up into heaven, he didn't see two gods. He saw the Lord sitting on his throne. The last message in the Bible. Verses 7 through 21 of this chapter contains the epilogue of the book of Revelation. It contains the closing statement of the book of Revelation, but you compare that with the prologue, which is the beginning statement of the book of Revelation in Revelation 1, 1 through 3. The prologue says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It also says he's going to show us things which must shortly come to pass. That's the beginning statement in Revelation. I'm going to show you things which shall come to pass, shortly come to pass. And he says the time is at hand. Now the epilogue, the book of Revelation ends with this statement, Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. He says it in verse 7. He says it in verse 12. And he says it in verse number 20. Now that statement, behold, I come quickly, has a twofold meaning. First of all, his coming will be fast. Behold, I come quickly. I'm not going to be dragging my feet. I'm not going to be pursuing different objects. No, behold, I come quickly. It means his coming will be fast. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 39 through 40. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would never have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. When a thief comes to rob a house, he doesn't take all night to do it, especially if the occupants are still inside the house. I can assure you this, it may be a two-story house, it could be a four-story house, and he doesn't say, well, I've got all night to rob this house. Let me see which story I'll work on first. No, he comes quickly. He takes what he wants, and then he's gone. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will occur quickly. It means his coming will be fast. Second of all, it means his coming is near. Behold, I come quickly. It's imminent. It could happen any time during the last 2,000 years. I do not know of anything that needs to be fulfilled before the Lord comes the second time. It was true in Paul's day. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul says, see that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that 2,000 years ago. It was true in James' day, who wrote the epistle of James. In James chapter 5, verse number 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And it was true in Simon Peter's day, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7, when he said, and the end of all things is at hand. They all believed that Christ could return in their lifetime. Though he did not, they believed that he could have returned in their lifetime. There's nothing to be fulfilled before the rapture of the saints, which means it could happen today. It may not happen today, but it could happen today. Several things mentioned in this passage that we're studying. The last message of the Bible. I hope that I can use the time wisely. The last message is found in verses 7 through 16. Verses 7 through 16, the last message. The last invitation is found in verse number 17. The last warning is found in verses 18 and 19. And the last benediction is found in verses 20 and 21. The last message of the Bible, verses 7 through 16. First of all, he calls attention in verse number 7 to something that is very, very important. He says this, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy. Believers should remember that Christ is coming soon and should hold fast to the sayings of the book of Revelation. That's not to be argued about. That's not to be taken lightly. That's not to be discarded. It's not very important as some of the other books in the Bible. No, every believer should remember that Christ is coming soon and he should hold fast to the sayings of Revelation. We must remember and apply the letters unto the seven churches. They were given 2,000 years ago, but they're applicable to us today. We should apply that in our churches today. We must remember the great tribulation is coming. We must remember the appearance and destruction of the beast and the false prophet and the dragon are coming. That's future tense. We must remember a kingdom on earth will be established, and we must remember the glory God has in store for his children. We remember those things. We're strengthened and comforted by those things. In verses 8 through 9, believers are to worship God and God alone. Verses 8 and 9, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I'm a fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." John was giving worship to the angel that was showing him these things. And the angel said, "Don't worship me, worship God." That's the last message of the Bible. We're to worship God and Him alone. Isn't it strange that sometimes we need to get hit in the head more than once to get a message across? This had already previously happened in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verse number 10, which says, "I fell at his feet to worship him," that is the angel, "and he said unto me, See, thou do it not, I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." We do not worship Allah, and we do not worship free will, and we do not worship luck. We worship God and Him alone. That's a part of the last message in the Bible. Verse number 10, notice the reading of it. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Believers are to teach the certainty of future events. Please do not get so wise in your own mind that you think you can improve on God who wrote the book. When God makes a statement and when God makes a declaration, my dear friends, you look for it to come to pass just as God said. It may never come to pass in your lifetime, but it will take place as God has said. Believers are to teach the certainty. If that be so, and church, it is so, then all of these things we've been studying in the book of Revelation are future. They're coming. They're around the corner. And they're going to take place. And they're going to happen. And the last message of the Bible says we ought to remember that. The certainty of these future events. You know, the book of Daniel is an excellent book on prophecy. And Daniel was given special revelations by God concerning some things that were going to happen. But in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and you need not turn to it, but please jot this reference down. Daniel 12, 4, and then verses 8 and 9. Daniel 12, verses 4, 8, and 9. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, God is speaking to Daniel. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words," and what? "Seal the book." The things that God had revealed to Daniel that were going to happen, don't tell anybody. Shut it up. Seal the book. "Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Verses 8 and 9 of Daniel 12. "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And God said to Daniel, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." Isn't that something? And you come over to the book of Revelation, my dear friends, and Daniel was commanded to seal up what preachers today are given command to preach. It has been unsealed in our day and our time. Daniel was not allowed to preach it and teach it and know it, but God has allowed us to know it. It's a very important book indeed. Notice also in verses 11 and 12 of this Revelation 22, verses 11 and 12. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. This is written, of course, to believers. Believers. There is a statement that I heard many, many, many years ago. I used to preach a long time ago and say many years ago. Now today I stand before you and say many, many, many years ago. It's been a long time. But that statement has stuck with me my whole entire life. And I believe it to be just as true as it possibly can. And it is this: we are becoming what we are. Think about it. We are becoming what we are. Did you know that what you are today is exactly what you're going to be tomorrow unless you make some changes today? Huh? What you are today is exactly what you're going to be tomorrow unless you make some changes about what you are today. He that is filthy, let him stay dirty. He that is unjust, let him stay unjust. He that is an unbeliever, let him stay an unbeliever. We're becoming what we are. And if you are an unbeliever today, that's exactly what you're going to be tomorrow. If you don't make some changes today, that will dictate something different tomorrow. Man will be in eternity what they've been in time. Notice verse 13. Jesus Christ will never change. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. Why, you read that in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. He said to John, I was dead, but now I'm alive and alive forevermore. He does not change, my dear friends. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doing is as important as believing for Christians. For Christians. Look at verse number 14. It says, blessed are they that do His commandments. Not that believe His commandments, but that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Brother James, in his epistle, early on, before you get to Revelation in your Bible study, James makes it clear that faith without works is what? It's dead. It's not enough to say, oh, I never will forget the day the Lord saved me, but you've never done anything for the Lord. You never read your Bible. You never pray. You're never concerned about pleasing the Lord. Just go your own way. Live your own thing. Live your own life. No, doing is very, very important. We must not forget that. We must not forget that. Our Lord stressed the importance of doing as well as believing in Matthew 7:21, when He said, in that day, the day of judgment, many will come to me and say, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that? Many, many, many. And He'll say, I never knew you. But He's talking to those, my dear friends, that He never had a saving relationship with, that would cause them to do things for the right purpose and for the honor and glory of God. In this last message of the Bible, the fires of hell never go out. Look at verse 15. For without, on the outside of heaven, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I fail to understand how anybody in his right mind could want to hang around with that bunch. Huh? But they do come in bunches. By that I mean dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. Did you know there's some people today and I know a man must have enlightenment by the Holy Spirit of God. I do know that a man must be quickened and born again by the Holy Spirit of God to see spiritual things. But have you ever stopped to realize how dumb and stupid people are? And I'm a people. And you're a people. There are some people that would rather, and they'll tell you in just a minute, that they'd rather go to hell with the harlots and the whoremongers than to go to heaven and be miserable with those folk that go up there. How dumb can you get? The book of Revelation, the last message of it. Remember this. If you go to hell, my dear friend, you're going to be there for a while. It won't be for a little bit and then you're taken out and put somewhere else. No, the ones that go to hell are still there today. And these truths are to be preached and taught in the churches. Look at verse number 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now, the church is the speaking podium of truth. God reveals His truth to His church. And yet today there's such great emphasis on everything in the world but church. Church membership is going down. Church attendance is going down. People are not as interested as they used to be in church. God works in His church and through His church. And these truths that we've read about in Revelation are to be preached and taught in His churches. In verse 16, we're to testify of them in the churches. That's what we've been trying to do here, have we not? So much for the last message. We come second of all to the last invitation. The last invitation. Look at verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The last invitation in the Bible. What is that invitation? It's a little four-letter word, C-O-M-E, come. Come. Christ said in John 5:40, you will not come to me that you might have life. The call of the gospel today is come. The call of godly preachers today is come. The call of godly Sunday school teachers is to come. The invitation has not changed. Though it may have changed in man's presentation of it, it's still the same thing in the Word of God. Come, let him come. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. Sweet verse of Scripture. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 22, verse number 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to the marriage. It's always come. Come. And that's the last invitation in the Bible. It is to come. Now, who extends the invitation? Who extends the invitation? Please notice. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Holy Spirit says, come. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Lord Himself spoke of the Holy Spirit. When I go, I'll send a comforter unto you. And His message today for sinners, come, 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 come to Christ. It doesn't change. No, the denominations come along and change it. They say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. No, come. Huh? Come. Come to Christ. Well, I believe you got to live it if you're going to be saved. No, come. Come. The message has not changed. The Holy Spirit gives the message. But notice the church gives the message. I don't know how many churches are giving that message anymore. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. We're telling people how to keep their marriage together. We're telling people how to be financially successful. We're telling people how you can go on a vacation, the best place to go and enjoy a vacation. We're just, all that's coming out of many pulpits across America today. No, our message is come. Come to Christ. I received a phone call from a young lady. I presume she was young. She sounded young. That doesn't mean anything anymore. But when she was talking to me on the phone, she said, I'm so glad to be able to reach a preacher. I've tried to reach preachers. I've called all of these churches in Tyler. I can't reach anybody. I said, you got one now. What can I do for you? She said, well, I've always heard that the earth is flat. And I kind of believe that. What? You believe that the earth is flat? Yes, I really do. I really do. I said, what kept Columbus from falling off of it? If it's flat, why didn't Columbus fall off of it? I began to explain just about a minute's worth about the spherical shape of the world, like Pluto, like Mars, like Venus. The earth is a planet just like any other planet. I said, could we talk about something a little bit more important? She said, yes. I said, have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Well, yes, I believe I really have. I said, when did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? When's the last time you were in church? Who's your pastor? No wonder people are talking about a flat earth. They're flat-headed. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit says, come. The church says, come. And the hearing believer says, come. You've heard. You've been saved. We have a responsibility to say to sinners today, come to Christ. You can come to Christ. You don't have to have a theological degree to do that. Every believer should be able to do that. Now then, to whom is the invitation extended? To whom is the invitation extended? To the thirsty. If you're not thirsty, forget it. Calvary was never designed for you. If you're not hungry today spiritually, forget Christ dying on the cross. He did not die for unthirsty people. He died for thirsty people. And if a man ever gets thirsty enough, he won't need 15 stanzas of Almost Persuaded to get him down a church aisle. I guarantee you, if you get hungry enough and thirsty enough, you'll knock people out of the way to get to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. So don't read into this something that isn't there. It says, well, whosoever will. And as I pointed out last week, well, you see, what about the whosoever wants? You believe he died for the whosoever wants? No. And yet the whosoever wants are just as clearly set forth in Scripture as the whosoever wills. The last warning, verses 18 through 19, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Wow. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, watch out now, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. There's a danger in trying to take away from the prophecy of this book. There's a danger when reading the book of Revelation, you say, well, now I just don't know whether I agree with that or not. Most likely what the writer had in mind was, and you start gumming it all up. That's a dangerous thing to do. He tells us that in the last message of the Bible. Don't take away from it. Don't take away from it. I do not believe this refers to the different interpretations that sometimes we might have about Revelation, but rather the deliberate adding another revelation to the present revelation. Doesn't mean anything. What it really means is this. Never shall forget Benny Hinn. Don't hear too much of Benny. Benny Hinn has stated in the year 2000, God told him that his ministry would be blessed in a supernatural way. Hinn said that God said, those were his words, God told me. Mr. Hinn said on television, God told me. God said if people would put their dead relatives in front of the television, that during the program, they'd be raised from the dead. Now, you talking about dumb as spit. When the Lord returns, the dead are going to be raised without having to have them in front of a television set. Amen. That's what you call a classic adding to the Word of God. Adding to it. He'll be judged for it. And if I do it, I'll be judged for it. Don't take away from what it says. Don't change what it says. The danger of trying to take away from the prophecy of this book. Tampering with the Word of God is a deadly thing to do in verse number 19. The teaching here is not that a believer who takes away from the Word of God will lose his salvation, because no believer would do that. It is an attack on God's Word from the unbeliever. What is his part? Look at that verse 18 again, please. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Look at verse 19. If any man take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Two areas of thought as to what this offered, this particular part is that God would take away. God would take away. Number one, it could refer to his offered part. And I know that when I make a statement like that, I'm going to be disagreed vehemently with some of my preacher friends whom I love dearly. And they're just as wrong as they can be. I believe in a free offer of the gospel. Many of God's choice servants in days gone by believed in a free offer of the gospel. That God meant business when he said, whosoever. You don't have to have a particular look to your face, or you don't have to be a particular color. You don't have to be a particular this or a particular that. You come to Christ. You come to Christ. God offers salvation. He does that. I believe that. And he could refer to his offered part. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, we're not going to have time to go there, but let me just ask you to jot that down. So very important. You remember the king invited some people to come to supper. Said, the supper's ready. The banquet's ready. Come, come, come. One of them said, well, I would love to, but I married a wife and I can't be there. Huh? I bought some land and I've got to go out and see if it's really so or not on the swamp water. We don't want to do that. No, they would not do what God offered them to do. You know what the Bible says in that passage? He turned from them. He said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel folk to come. It's an offered part. And I'm here to tell you, you've turned down an offered part of coming, of repenting, of trusting Christ. You turn that down, you'll have no part in the blessing of what Revelation promises for believers. Could refer to man's offered part. That's okay if you don't buy that. That's okay. Study it, though. It could also refer to his professed part. An unbeliever can profess he has a part in the kingdom of God, but in the end, that professed part is taken away from him. Give me a statement. Give me a Christian statement. Give me a spiritual. Give me a scripture. What about Luke chapter 8, verse 18? Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Here's a man who seems like he's been saved. He seems like he is a Christian. He doesn't really know it. He really hasn't been saved, but he thinks he is. I don't see why that would be so terribly difficult for you to understand that reasoning. I would venture to say most people today, no, let me back up. Many people that go to church today profess to be saved, and they have no idea of what salvation's about. Salvation's not in coming to church. It'll cause you to want to come to church, but it's not in what we do, the good things that we do. And some people operate their entire life thinking, it seems like I'm a Christian, that shall be taken away. I don't know. Some for you to think about. The last benediction. The last benediction. Verses 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He which testifieth these things. Well, who's testifying of? The Lord himself. It's the Lord's word. It is the Lord who testifies here, makes it clear in verse number 18. He said this before his resurrection, and now he says it after his resurrection. He's testifying it, and he closes it with, amen, so be it, or let it be. And then he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. John's greatest desire was to see the Lord come in his glory when he was captivated on the Isle of Patmos. He looked forward to that day when Christ would come the second time. Paul's greatest desire in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. If you've really been saved by the grace of God, don't you sometimes wonder, isn't it going to be kind of good to see the Lord when he comes a second time? Sometimes when the devil kicks you from room to room, walks on you, turns you every way but loose, you get to thinking about, bless God, it won't be long. I'll be rid of him. I'll be in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's coming back. And when the Lord comes back and he brings it all together in completing the blessed book of Revelation and the entire word of God, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more disappointment. There'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more hard feelings. I tell you, it's going to be wonderful when the King comes again, when the Lord comes back. And we need to start looking for it, because it could very easily be this day when he comes the second time. Last message in the Bible, come. Come. Let's stand, please, for prayer.